Hello, you are listening to OmniTalk's Retail Fast Five, brought to you in partnership with the A&M Consumer and Retail Group, Avalara, Wiliot, TGW, and Sezzle. Ranked in the top 10% of all podcasts globally and currently ranked the number one podcast in all of retail by FeedSpot, the Retail Fast Five is a podcast that we hope makes you feel a little smarter, but most importantly, a little happier each week too. Today is March 13th, 2024. I'm one of your hosts, Sam Mazenga.
And I'm one of your other hosts, Chris Walton.
And we are here once again to discuss the most important headlines from the past week that highlight how the physical, digital, and human elements of retail are coming together to shape the future. Chris, we're in a new spot today.
We are, and pray tell to the audience, where are we? This
You've
is kind of fun.
Pray tell. It's like pray very theatrical, thespian of you.
Yes, it's very kind of old English, you know?
Yes.
I like the diction that it puts into my voice when we start a podcast. To pray tell, Anne. But where are we, Anne?
We are at the Lululemon Mall of America studio today, doing our broadcast from here as we do once a year.
Yeah, it's become an annual tradition.
Yeah. It's a great time. We get to come here, hang out with the Lululemon team, find out about what's new. We did a fit test today. You're looking mighty fine in
we
your
did. Thank
Lululemon
you.
Thread.
So are you, Anne. Yes, we had the whole team fitness providing our wardrobe options. It was great. It was awesome.
I feel like we're on the Oscar red carpet right now. But Chris, tell me what you're wearing.
Well, I've got the whole thing. I've got, thank you, Anne. Thank you. I've got a jacket, a nice button-down shirt, some nice ABC slacks. But the most important thing, Anne, which I'm going to take off my foot right now, is the new Cityverse shoe.
Hopefully,
Anne, you can stand
beauty.
The smell of my shoeless feet. But
luckily, they're new, so they don't smell.
Yes, they are. But the new Cityverse shoe, they just debuted this like a few weeks ago, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And it's honestly really comfortable. I'm really pleased with it so far. I've had it on for about probably 2 hours now, I'd say, altogether. And I'm loving it compared to my Cole Haan's, Anne. I got to tell you, I'm really liking it.
Yeah, so new women's shoes. They just launched a new women's running shoe. They have all kinds of Cityverse selections coming out in all different colorways and everything. But Chris, I have to say, the thing that I found most surprising going through this store, which is one of their flagship stores, it's a huge store here in the Mall of America, is just how much they have made the pivot. Like, if you look at all the models, they've made the pivot to this idea of like work athleisure wear and travel being a really heavy focus.
Yep.
In addition, like, given, actually, I would argue probably as much prominence as some of the like sweat and like workout clothes are given here. It's very much focused on, here's a whole section of things that I can wear from the plane to a conference to, you know, work, and you're certainly going to be seeing.
You can do your whole weekend in this outfit. You can do, like, even this outfit I'm wearing, Anne, like the jacket, I could wear this to work out, but it also still looks professional.
Yeah, you can wear that to dinner.
I could put a t-shirt on underneath this if I wanted to casual it down a little bit. Like, it's totally versatile like that. So yes, 100% agree with that.
But really interesting to see Lululemon already do so well in the fitness and athleisure category, and now going into stuff that we wear out to dinner and to work every day, which I think is brilliant on Lululemon.
And into the new categories of footwear, right? I mean, that's like all just icing on the cake for Lululemon at this point. And, you know, so that's just huge. Can't wait to see how it does. The other thing too, Anne, real quick, is like we are in their event space here, which in their Mall of America and other stores throughout the country, you know, they have the event space, which you can rent out and use, or, you know, however you want. You can do you can have a fitness class here. You can hold a corporate event here, kind of a wellness retreat thing, which is something I've been thinking about doing, you know, more so as we get asked all the time about OmniTalk, when are you guys going to start doing events? And so I was like, you know, maybe we start talking about that. But, you know, but it's cool. It's cool. It's a cool little feature they have here. We're in this studio space of theirs, which is what? I don't know. Like 1,000 square feet, give or take, Anne.
It's a great spot. Opens up. We'll put the link to book this space in our show notes if that's of interest to our listeners.
Yeah, for all you local fans out there.
Yes, that sounds good. But Chris, I think we need to get to the headlines.
Get to the show.
Yes.
All right, Anne. Well, I know you're kind of a last minute person, aren't you? You kind of
no.
You're not. You're not
no.
at all. No, you're not. You're not
I'm
at
very,
all.
I'm very prepared most times. So I like to plan in advance.
So am I. But if you happen to be a listener, which I'm sure many of you are, if you're one of those people that waits till the last minute to buy your birthday gift, ShopTalk wants you to know that being a last minute person is just fine. It's okay.
It is
okay, Anne.
Procrastinators are welcome here too.
It is okay. Yes.
Okay.
ShopTalk gets it. Maybe you're just too important and too busy that you couldn't have done it already. So, but all the most important people in retail are headed to Las Vegas this weekend. We're like 3 days away, Anne. And ShopTalk only, believe it or not, ShopTalk only has 50 tickets
Seriously?
Left. 50 tickets left, Anne. 50. 50.
Oh, my God.
Today is Wednesday. ShopTalk starts Sunday. So, my unticketed friends, you still can catch your plane and make it to the show. And you can use our code OmniTalk to save an extra 10% off.
You still can on those 50 tickets?
You can. You can still use our code.
Oh,
that's
dang.
The kind of pull we have with the ShopTalk team.
Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
10%. You can save it. Google ShopTalk to learn more. And all our loyal followers are going to want to attend because we are busier than we've ever been at any conference. The fun kicks off on Monday morning for us, when I take the stage to interview Google's head of commerce, Maria Renz, which a number of Googleites, I don't know if that's what you call them, Googlers.
Yeah.
I don't know what they call them. Let me know. But they've told me they're super excited to see that conversation. And then we immediately go off the stage. This is super cool. We immediately come off the stage and we go into live streaming interviews in partnership with Meta.
Yes, we have some great people lined up. We're going to be talking to heads of Target, Walmart, Victoria's Secret. The list is increasing by the hour.
Yes,
Chris.
It is.
It's
like we
be
always
a full
do.
Day,
we,
full
we,
day.
We got some hitters. This is the big hitter conference for us, and we've got some big hitters lined up. But Anne, you got to tell the audience too about how we're ending the conference, because that's what I'm always most excited about.
Yes. So if you remember from Grocery Shop, we kicked this off last year at Grocery Shop. We are going to be sitting down on stage on Wednesday to recap the entire show in our Fast Five style with the Shop Talk team. So you are not going to want to miss that. If you are going to the show, make sure you come and join us for that session, even with your ludicrous hangover. And if you aren't able to make it out of bed, or if you aren't going to Shop Talk, which is very disappointing, but you should be there. If you aren't going, you can catch the live recap on our podcast channels after the show.
Yeah, we'll release it as soon as possible, probably that day if we can. So yeah, keep an eye out for that, because yeah, that's my highlight. And I didn't get to do it last time, man, because I got sick and had to bow out. But I'm excited to do it this time. Hopefully everything goes well and you and I both stay well. All right, and we've got news today on Aldi's mammoth expansion plans. Babies Are Us going into Kohl's.
Yes.
Michael's bringing their third-party maker marketplace in store. Gotta love the alliteration there. And welcome to the Waberhood, Anne. But we've got news on Wayfair's major rebranding ahead of its first large format store opening. But we begin today with a headline from Walmart that I have been waiting all week with bated breath to discuss.
See what you did there.
Yeah, wait till you see what I did there, Anne. Yes.
All right, headline number one, Chris. Walmart has extended its express delivery to the early morning hours. According to Chain Storage, Walmart now offers customers on-demand delivery starting at 6 a.m., earlier than ever before. Also starting in March, Walmart will begin delivering live bait for all you anglers out there from more than 3,000 stores as part of its early morning delivery service for anglers looking to catch fish when they're biting. It should also be noted that the addition of early morning hours follows Walmart's fall 2023 decision to start offering its express delivery service until 10 p.m. on orders placed by 9:30 p.m. at 4,000 stores across the U.S. So, Chris, I'd love to hear what you think about this early morning. Why were you waiting with bated breath?
Let me cast a wide net here with this one, and I'm going to try to see how many fishing analogies I can put into this, but the merchant in me loves it. That's what I'll say, point blank. The merchant in me loves it, and there's two reasons I love it, Anne.
Okay.
One, whenever you and I have used express delivery from anyone, really.
Yep.
Oftentimes, when I thought back about this, it's in the early morning.
Yeah, that's true.
Because that is the time of day when you need something quick, because you got to get it before work. If you're already at work, it's like, fine, whatever. Just get it to me at whatever point when I get home, you know?
Right.
But you need it in the morning. You can't wait till the workday's over. So that's one point.
Yeah.
So I think there's a real demand there. Second, and I really love this part, the live bait is such a great marketing hook, pun intended again, but it's such a great marketing hook because it's a real use case that gets people to engage more often with the app. And that also potentially gives more people more incentive to sign up for Walmart Plus to get the free express delivery too for their early morning fishing trips. So I gotta say, Anne, well done to Walmart again. I'm getting tired of saying that. I need a story where I can be critical of them. But I absolutely love this. I think it's really smart.
I think you're giving the angler angle a little bit too much credit.
Oh, nicely done, Ed.
Although I have to say, when I was thinking about it, I was like, I think about all the times I've been in bait shops in my life, and those individuals do not strike me as the one who are going to be signed up, which I get.
Untapped market, exactly.
Possibly.
And it gets delivered to you wherever your boat may be.
Possibly. We'll see. I don't know if I can get on board with that. I think that was a clever PR hook again. But I do agree with you that this is another justification for the Walmart Plus program and gives them a very competitive edge because it beats Target store openings by an hour now.
Yep.
And it also guarantees delivery by 7 a.m., which is still 2 hours earlier than the Amazon 4 to 8 a.m. window is for same-day delivery if you're ordering the night before. So I can think of, like you said, several use cases where this makes a ton of sense. And my only other option, because I was going through the same thing, like, what do I do? It's 6 a.m. I need something. I know I need something for a lunch or, you know, my kid needs to bring something to school. Like, the only other option I have at that time of day is DoorDash.
DoorDash, yeah.
And I am limited to DashMart because right. The other stores are not open during those hours typically.
Awesome point. Yeah. So I think, didn't even think about that.
I think that's where you're really justifying that $99 a year for an additional subscription to Walmart Plus to get this type of offering.
Which is crazy to think about because as this evolves, then you could say like, oh, maybe the stores on DashMart start opening up earlier or give DoorDash some type of access to what they're doing. But you're 100% right. And especially coming off Target's announcement last week
yes.
with their Circle 360 yeah. membership program and the express delivery and Walmart now one-upping that game, you know, mm-hmm. what, 4 or 5 days, maybe 3 days later from
yeah.
a business perspective. That's 100% what
yeah,
this is about.
Yeah, it's a great, great competitive move from Walmart.
All right. So we both love that.
Yes.
Essentially. All right. Headline number two, Aldi has announced a massive expansion plan. According to Fox Business, Aldi plans to add 800 locations across the country by the end of 2028
Whew.
As part of what is a whopping $9 billion expansion plan. Wow. Quote, with up to 40% savings on groceries, new customers are inspired to try us out and existing customers keep coming back. While price is important, we earn their loyalty by stocking our shelves with only the best products and offering a quicker, easier, and more enjoyable shopping experience, end quote, Aldi CEO Jason Hart said. Though the company already boasts a strong presence in the Midwest and the Northeast, Aldi said it will add about 330 new stores in those regions under the expansion plan. It is also aiming to grow its presence out west by adding more stores in Southern California and the Phoenix area, as well, yeah. Aldi was not big for me growing up in Phoenix. Now that was 20 plus years ago.
Yeah.
But yeah, so not surprised there. As well as introducing spots in new cities like Las Vegas. And
yes.
If my memory serves correctly, during our podcast at the end of last year, I believe A&M singled out the
yes.
Aldi acquisition of Southeastern Grocers as their headline of the year. I'm thinking about that, right?
Yeah.
Yep. So my question is, how much do you think this and announcement amplifies that take?
I think this is huge. I mean, we just came back from NGA, Chris, and we've been talking to, and before that, the week before that, we did two, you know, grocery store tours, and everyone
yeah,
is talking
in
about
Phoenix.
Everyone is talking about Aldi. Aldi is the one that people are paying very close attention to because they still have huge audience potential and they are missing that because they don't have the store presence yet in the U.S. to capture it. So I think that's the biggest thing, especially in these rural or up and coming communities that are only served right now by like Walmart and dollar stores. I think the potential for Aldi to break in there because they can compete on low prices and have, I would say, the equivalent, if not in some cases, better produce offerings than those options, Aldi could take a ton of share from those stores. So I think that's something to watch. Last thing, too, is they're opening that cashierless checkout store
in Chicago.
And
yeah.
So I think as you start to expand to these 800 stores, testing that in that one store could have the potential to roll out to support staffing for these 800 stores and potentially some of the other issues that you can come across when you're trying to build this amount of stores in mm-hmm. such a short amount of time. But what are your thoughts here? I mean, are you feeling like you're hearing the same things from our conversations?
Yeah, I don't have much to add on it, honestly. I mean, I think the point I would make is I think the expansion plan is going to work.
Yeah.
Like, I think, and it's going to work for one reason, which is what Jason Hart tried to downplay in his statement, but it's price. Because
right.
if you look at the laws of business, going back to like business school days, like everything always gravitates towards the lowest price in the end. And mm-hmm. so he's right. Like if you can offer the lowest price and also offer the convenience of a great quality shopping experience with the quality of products that you can come to know to expect and get every time, you're going to win. It's right. an axiom. People always move to the lowest price offering. And so the fact that Aldi is relatively underpenetrated from a store count standpoint and they're going after it means it's probably going to work if they stay laser focused on that positioning and they try to grab share as a result of that. So yeah, I think for the most part, this is a big announcement in the grocery industry. It'll shake things up a lot. It's going to be fun to watch what happens over the course of the next few years as they roll these stores out.
You know, you just reminded me of something too. I mean, I forgot that they have been delivering with Instacart too for the last several years. So they probably have a very good idea of where the demand is and how to really get in, you know, introduce some of those other communities to an Aldi store. So
yeah, I mean, that's the other thing when you were talking about Aldi's probably a much better omni-channel retailer
yes.
than people realize
for
and
sure.
get credit for. So
just because they don't give you bags, people think they aren't innovative. But right. maybe they're smarter than all of us, Chris. Yep.
They're like Southwest Airlines. You get what you get,
yeah.
right? Or Ryanair from a European analogy. You get what
right.
you get. You're happy with it, but you know what to expect. And the best thing you get is you save money.
That's right. All right, let's go to headline number three, Chris. Babies R Us is coming to 200 Kohl's stores. According to CNBC, Kohl's said Tuesday that it's teaming up with the owner of Babies R Us to bring baby gear, furniture, and more to approximately 200 of its stores across the country. The retailer struck a licensing deal with WHP Global, a brand management firm with a portfolio that includes Bonobos, Joe's Jeans, and Anne Klein. Kohl's said the first Babies R Us shops will open this August and expand to more stores in the fall. The shops will range from 750 to 2,500 square feet and will add more brands and merchandise to Kohl's baby category. Later this fall, customers will also see an expanded assortment of baby products on Kohl's website, and the company will launch a baby registry, its new CEO, Tom Kingsbury, said recently on an earnings call. Chris, are you, I want to know, I'm curious what you think about this. Like, the baby merchant in you has got to be, like, bubbling with all kinds of ideas, I imagine. But where do you fall on this?
Yeah, I've said on the show before, favorite job I ever had was running the baby department for Target.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've been very critical of Tom Kingsbury in the past. I think even calling him Burlington Tom. And in this case, Ann,
yes.
I'm going a different direction.
Okay.
I love this. I think it's proof that experience does matter mm-hmm. in the role of an executive,
okay.
right? Like I think, and that's something that I think in this digital age has been downplayed a lot, you know, and especially with a lot of the ageism that goes on nowadays too, and certain other aspects. But experience does matter, and when it's especially when it's leveraged right. And in this case, Tom knows what the hell he's doing because. What I know from my background is, when we were talking about this yesterday, you said the same thing, is like Burlington has always had a great baby business.
Yes, they
have. It's always had a strong baby business. And when I got into the apartment, I was like, really, Burlington? Wow, they do a baby, but they do.
Mm-hmm.
And so he knows that.
Yeah.
He knows that's an untapped opportunity for Kohl's, and he's found a partner in Babies R Us that immediately brings that cachet and that experience into the Kohl's environment. And the other thing I'll say is Baby's also a trip driver. It has been that for years for Target and Walmart, which is also what Kohl's desperately needs.
Yes.
When I step back from this, I'm kind of surprised that Macy's gave this up.
I totally agree. I thought the same thing because we had speculated when Toys R Us signed that deal with
Macy's
that this could be next. But yeah, I'm pretty surprised that we didn't see that move.
We did. Yeah, I was surprised. Given the Toys R Us relationship, I thought they'd go this natural route. So, you know, way to go, Tom Kingsbury, to sneak in there and grab this. I have no idea what the financial parameters of the deal are. So you have to take that with a grain of salt. But smart move. I mean, it makes you more of a one-stop shop. It gets you into a category of business. And the registry side, from a digital standpoint, is also important
mm-hmm.
because that'll help amplify things because so much of the registry is done online now, too. So that's going to be a new angle for the business for Kohl's from an omnichannel perspective.
Well, not just registry either. It's just the e-com business in general. I mean, so many younger parents who are seeking this type of product out
right.
are ordering, replenishing, are getting things like the feeding, like the gear, like all that stuff as their babies continue to grow are ordering that online, which Tom Kingsbury said in that earnings call is really where they need to boost Kohl's sales is their e-commerce business. So I agree with you. I think that should help drive people online and in store. Like, I really think, like, when you compare this to Sephora and what Sephora has done for Kohl's,
yep.
I think it's like it's going to have customers reacting in the same way. Like, you cannot get Babies R Us anywhere else. There's no standalone Babies R Us. And more importantly, there shouldn't be. Like, I think that's actually what I think is the smartest move of this, is that Kohl's is most valuable probably right now as a real estate provider, as a leasing provider. They have the space. They have categories that are not doing well, that are low performers, that could be wiped out of there to provide space for something like this, for Babies R Us, that can exist in an environment where it can be a one-stop shop versus an anchor on a giant strip center. Like, this to me seems like a great place for all of these replenishment or ongoing recurring replenishment needs, from beauty to baby and now into home too, which I think will be the next category that they're going after.
Yeah, it's an ideal partner in that sense too. Like, it's got some cachet. The devil will be in the details though. That's mm-hmm. the thing. You can't just put this in and expect, it's not the if you build it they will come strategy. Like, baby takes care.
Like Sephora was.
Yeah. It takes a little more care, a little more nurturing, because if you're in that store, you're looking to shop, you need some assistance there. Like, it's not an easy thing to think through. And that's what Babies R Us, when you get back to the core of what it did well, you always knew you're going to get good service when you came in there as the first time mom mm-hmm. to or parents, I should say, too.
Yeah.
But the first time parents coming into that store, you knew you were going to get the help and support that you needed. So, and it was a superstore too. So it's still a little bit different.
Yeah.
But you can definitely see the strategic angle he's taking. And he probably knows it's going to work based on the volume he saw at Burlington.
But Chris, you know what it's going to be great for?
What?
That racetrack's going to be great for testing out strollers. You got a whole big Kohl's store up and down and escalators and all the things. You can just zoom right around.
That is true, Ann. You can. You can have stroller races with, hopefully not with kids in them. We don't advise that at home. All right, headline number 4. Michaels has begun piloting its third-party handmade digital marketplace in stores. According to Chain Store Age, in November 2023, the specialty arts and crafts retailer formally introduced MakerPlace by Michaels, an online marketplace offering handmade goods, artist-led classes, how-to guides, and access to Michaels' assortment of supplies and componentry. Didn't know componentry was a thing. And since February 2024, yes, right? Since February 2024, Michaels has been piloting an in-store version of Maker Place by Michaels in 7 stores across North Carolina, Florida, Missouri, Illinois, Utah, Louisiana, and Massachusetts. That's quite a diverse geography to pilot something, with the next pilot scheduled for March 23rd, 2024. The way it works is this, Ann. Select marketplace sellers are invited to sell directly to customers via their local Michaels store, crediting a new opportunity to drive exposure and sales for their independent handmade businesses. Ann.
Yes.
This is a fun one. I'm glad it's you and not me, to be honest. This is also the A&M put you on the spot question of the week.
Okay.
And they're taking us in a new direction than I would have thought, given the question, which is why our partnership with them is so great, because they force us to think about things on entirely other levels. So mm-hmm. here it is. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the bigger payoff for Michaels with Maker Place? Do you think it's driving more awareness and sales for independent crafters selling on the marketplace, recruiting would-be sellers to the platform, or something different?
I think it's D, all of the above. I think that the answer here,
man, we're going to agree on this whole show, I think.
This is the perfect flywheel for Michaels. I mean, they are taking all of the Michaels community inside and outside of the four walls of the store, connecting them online. You have all the Maker's Place and Michaels sales. All the product is happening on Michaels' own brand site, all inside its communities and in the stores in some cases, which we talked about. More sales on both sites or both platforms or positions of the site are great and beneficial for Michaels, because they're
yep.
the makers are using the products from Michaels. The people who are trying to do it are buying the products from Michaels. They're also getting a cut of sales from online classes that can be taken anytime, anywhere, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And at the end of the day, I think you also get so much richer customer data too, and trend data about what's popular on those sites, that helps Michaels know what SKUs to carry, what they should be looking for and stocking their stores with online and offline to serve those customers. So I absolutely love this. I think it's brilliant.
Wow. I can't believe how like in sync we are on today's podcast. You know, for me, you said flywheel.
Yes.
And I thought the phrase that came to mind for me was virtuous cycle. You know, yeah, 100%. You're getting more makers on the platform. You're using them as the hook to drive more loyalty in store and more trips with Michael's, you know, most loyal customers. So mm-hmm. it's similar to me, like how Warby in the past has talked about why they have physical stores.
Okay.
Right? Like it amplifies your presence in that area so that 1 + 1 = 3 and you get more, you know, more revenue over time, which is why I like the move for Michael's. But yeah. I will say that with a caveat.
Okay.
And then I want to make a plug for Ashley Buchanan too, the CEO of Michael's. But I say that with a caveat, and that I like the move as long as it stays controlled and doesn't get too big. The move of bringing the makers into store.
Yeah, I'll agree. That seems super dicey to me.
Yeah. Like even the 7 states where they're testing this seems a little tough to me because it's hard to make these types of models work at scale, which you and I have experience in trying to understand this, mm-hmm. even in our jobs together at Target. They require additional marketing expense. They require people to coordinate and plan them. It's basically like a merchandising effort.
Yes.
It takes a new team of people to do this right. So net-net, they aren't easy to do, which is why you always hear about in-store activations like this the first time, mm-hmm. but you never hear about them in years 2 and 3 if you track this like we do. So, go ahead.
I guess the thing that I don't know enough about, mm-hmm. Chris, because that was my thing too, like, this seems like a disaster from a merchandising perspective. Like you have people setting up craft tables mm-hmm. in your busy store on a Saturday when like you need to get throughput from like your own products.
Right.
And like, is everybody's stuff looking different? Is it going to, you know, is one thing going to have like stuff toppling over into like, how do you control that? But I also,
and who owns it at the store level? Is it a new job? Is it an existing job?
Right.
How taxed is the store already? Do they have other things to do?
But
yes.
This community is very self-organizing. Like these crafters, like they, I don't know if it's the same as it would be in like a Target store mm-hmm. or other stores. Like mm-hmm. I think Michael's, maybe there's a little bit more freedom and flexibility mm-hmm. and like onus on some of the DIYers to kind yeah. of like make this something yeah. that works for them, or volunteer time yeah. to help make it work. So I don't know. I think that part of me, I totally yeah. agree is something to keep an eye on.
But the thing is, you still have to market the events. There's a whole host of added costs to doing them. So my advice, honestly, for those that are thinking about doing this, and Michael's is a great example, is you've got to be really targeted in terms of where you're going to deploy this model.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing, and this is the most important thing, is you have to set up a true measurement system in the market, both for your online and in-store impact to your sales. And then once you understand that, you can rinse and repeat to all the stores where the ROI pays for the total cost of the additional overhead involved, because there is going to be additional overhead involved.
Yes.
And you have to understand that. So the second point with the measurement is oftentimes what gets lost on this. People just think it's a cool idea. They don't do it, but they don't measure it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you need to do if you're going to do this effectively and you're going to do it for scale. And you, in today's day and age, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
I think before, with the limits of technology, you couldn't. Now you can, because you can understand the impact that this has geographically on your sales online and the impact for those makers that are coming into your store too to help sell them into the product, to get that virtual cycle going again too. But Ann, real quick, I actually think Ashley Buchanan is a dark horse candidate for a CEO job, like potentially at Target too. If you look at Brian mm-hmm. Cornell, he was a previous Sam's Club, Michael's guy. Ashley Buchanan following the same path. So who knows? Yeah, he's been doing some great things down there. Very omnichannel focused.
Well, we'll keep an eye out. Let's go to headline number 5, Chris. Wayfair has launched a major brand refresh ahead of its first large format store opening. According to Marketing Dive, Wayfair launched a new campaign called Welcome to the Waberhood, and it introduced a refresh logo, updated jingle, new celebrity partners, and more per a Wayfair press release. The brand has also enlisted celebrities including Lisa Ann Walter, Lisa Vanderpump, and Titus Burgess? Is that his name?
I guess so, yeah.
I should know that probably, to join its longtime brand ambassador Kelly Clarkson for a campaign that arrives as the online retailer prepares to open its first large format physical store this spring in Wilmette, Illinois. Chris,
fabulous Wilmette, Illinois.
What are you thinking about Waberhood? The Waberhood. Are you
the
welcoming
Waberhood?
Yourself to the Waberhood? Are you in on this? What do you think about the store?
I'm trying to think of the Mr. Rogers song right now, like to come up with some joke about the Waberhood. But am I in on? Yeah. Okay. So there's two angles. It's kind of the headline was interesting. Like they're they're deliberately trying to make the connection between the large store format and the rebranding, which I think is fascinating. But so my thoughts, I'm dying to hear what you think on the branding, but my quick thoughts are, having watched some of it on the commercials, it doesn't really feel all that different to me. It mm-hmm. just feels like more of the same, honestly. But the bigger part was what we started talking about a few seconds ago, which is that Wayfair is probably trying to tie this in from a PR perspective to a single store opening, which is kind of crazy when you stop and think about it. Like, we're doing a relaunch of a national brand campaign and we're deliberately trying to allude or tie it to a one store opening.
Yeah.
But that tells me that they think the new concept is that important or it's going to be that big. And it is that big. I researched it yesterday. It looks like it's going to be 150,000 square feet.
Yeah, massive.
And so, you know, if you read between the lines, that means they're going after IKEA, folks. They're trying to rebrand as we've got everything you need, right? Mm-hmm. Which, if you're going to physical stores, is honestly the only move I think they can make at this point. They've tried the smaller stores. I told the CEO Shaw to do this directly to his face in 2017. And so net, the proof to me again is going to be in the pudding of how that store operates. And if it ultimately is a more broadly pleasing aesthetic in terms of everything you can offer mm-hmm. to outfit your house on that, like I've talked about before, furnishing your house is a chore trip. You go to get it all done in one spot as easy as you can. That's why IKEA is really good. But IKEA's weak spot is the aesthetic. The aesthetic is limited in exchange for low prices. Hmm. Wayfair's aesthetic.
Like the store aesthetic is
no,
limited?
The product's aesthetic. The products that IKEA carries are very specific to an aesthetic for the most part. Hmm. And so Wayfair carries a much more broader range of an assortment. So, but the key will be, how do they showcase that in the store? How do they enable people to shop it quickly? I imagine it'll be set up. I'm guessing it'll be set up in a similar way to an IKEA, because it's Wayfair does mainly, you know, box products for shipping, flat box products for shipping. So it'll be set up the same way as an IKEA, I'm guessing. I'm totally extrapolating, but seems logical. So the key will be, how do they merchandise to those larger aesthetics, and how do they get people the product they want in the store or delivered to their house as easily as efficiently as possible, which they're actually pretty good at doing for the most part. But yeah. What do you think? I mean, maybe hit the brand. What did you think of the branding, first of all?
I didn't really have much to say about the branding other than I think they're pulling in these big celebrities because they still have an awareness problem. I think there's still a lot of people who don't know Wayfair, who don't feel comfortable shopping Wayfair because there aren't any stores. Like, they aren't ready to invest, even if it's, you know, even if it's just $600 on a dining room table. Like, when you don't understand the quality and you've shopped IKEA or other things and you've seen that level of quality, like, the idea that if I don't like it, I can't bring it back somewhere is like canceled out, done. I'm not doing that anymore. So I think that the celebrities make sense. It's bringing new awareness to the brand in general. But I thought the biggest thing in that article was that they are committing to this opening of the store this spring, and they're now putting branding and traffic behind it. So I'm hopeful that we don't continue to see that date push back now that they're actually driving people to it.
And you didn't know that either, right? Like, that was kind of news to you. I had seen that a couple months ago. I guess I never talked to you about it, but
Yeah, I mean, they've been talking about it for a long time.
They've been talking about it for a long time.
I think, like, you know, they were supposed to open one last fall. Mm-hmm. Like, all these things have been in the works in different parts of the country. So I think that to me was the real takeaway. At the same time, I'm surprised that in this branding campaign, they haven't mentioned anything about the technology that they have too. Like, we didn't see anything in any of the campaigns about, like, that cool generative AI room finder that they have. Like, all these ways that they are working really hard to enable a customer who has never ordered from them online to feel comfortable and confident in the purchase. So I think that was a big miss too, if they're going to, you know, if they're running spots during the Oscars, which aren't cheap.
Yeah, although I will say, in some of the research I did last night, there were some allusions to, like, digital screens in the store. And I don't know how much that's conjecture by the journalist or being told to him or her by Wayfair. That's where I start to get really worried. Because, like you said, like, these are, you know, if you're going to the stores, it's probably for the people that are less technically savvy yeah. in terms of how this all works. And so you start doing that kind of stuff where you have to get them acclimated to a new way to shop. We've seen that doesn't work. It doesn't work right. for Amazon with grocery. It's not going to work for you either, Wayfair. So I hope you're not doing that.
I think
I hope you're just showcasing the breadth of your assortment in a good way.
I would, because I interviewed their CTO, Fiona.
Yeah,
Tan,
I think they're going to too. And that's what scares the hell out of me.
She mentioned that several times. Like, we're trying to take the online experience into the physical. And I'm totally with you. If that ends up with kiosks, like, we're all in trouble.
And that could also be why, I mean, we're just speculating here, folks, but that could also be why the opening date has continued to push out, because you're trying to make this too technologically complicated
right.
of an
point.
Experience. So I hope you're not doing that. You've got enough to play. I told this to him flat out, and at the time he kind of laughed in my face and said, there's no way we'll ever do that. Well, here they are now opening a bigger store. They can beat IKEA at IKEA's game in probably a smaller footprint too if they just highlight the breadth of their assortment. They can compete on price pretty effectively with them too. It just honestly hope at the end of the day makes their delivery costs lower too.
Yeah.
So there's enough to go on there. You don't have to trick this out.
Yeah. All right, Chris, let's get to the lightning round. Question number one. Chris, there's a new company, not new, but there's a company called Jukebox that allows you to now invest in a single song and get dividends based on how much the song is played. What song, if you had to choose one, old or new, would you invest in?
Oh, man. Well, I've given a shout-out to him before on the show, but I'm giving a shout-out to my buddy, former Wayfair employee, actually Oven Bonsall again. But it would be Save Tonight, Anne. That's my college song. Ugh. I feel like that song is just waiting for a – you know, waiting for a flick or a TV show to give it new life and give it the just due it deserves. Similar
Stranger
to like Stranger
Things.
Things.
Stranger
yeah.
Things have happened.
Running Up the Hill, right? Whatever that song is.
I was thinking of the Barbie movie Push. Like, when was Matchbox 20's Push ever going to come up again in cultural relevance in 2024?
Yeah, yeah. So. Right. That's a good one, too. Yeah. All right. So Airbnb, this one kind of creeped me out, man. Airbnb has banned hosts from putting any indoor cameras inside of their rentals. Does this decree make you more likely, less likely, or about as likely to want to use Airbnb?
Well, I'm the worst person to ask for this because I do house swaps, and there's zero rules on what you need to do with cameras for house swaps. So I can only imagine what footage people may or may not have. But I think
You ever thought about this before?
Yes.
That like there's cameras, there could easily be cameras in my Airbnb, and I would never know it.
Yeah, but
I never thought about that ever.
Really?
Yeah,
but,
I never thought about it.
What are you gonna do? I don't know. I'm just like, oh well.
Go to
I guess
hotel where that stuff is more hopefully more closely monitored.
I don't know. I just feel like. Proceed at your own risk. If you want to see this. You want to see this. I'm sorry. You're going to be disappointed.
Quote of the year. All right. Hopefully people have stuck around this long. All right,
Chris, the Oscars took place last weekend with Oppenheimer winning Best Picture. If you could go back and re-award one of the Best Picture nominees from the past, which film would you give that award to?
Oh, man. This one for film buffs is easy. It's 100% Brokeback Mountain when Crash won. Yeah, I think everyone would say that. Because Crash is just not that great of a movie, and Brokeback Mountain was an incredible movie.
I gotta watch that
with
again.
Incredible acting performances,
okay.
Incredible direction by Ang Lee, just a stellar movie. And where Crash is just kind of hit on some like zeitgeist of the moment, and that was it. No one's ever watching Crash again. I mean, I've never watched a second.
I'm gonna
time.
Watch both again.
But
I'll
I've watched
report back.
Yeah, and you, I report back. I would guarantee you'll feel the same way.
Okay.
At least that's how most people would feel. All right, last one. Princess Kate caused quite the kerfuffle this week after being nabbed for doctoring a photo with her and her kids. What is one picture from your past that you wish you could doctor?
Oh, God, I want to pick a whole era. Is that possible?
Yeah, you can pick a whole era. Which era? What was your least favorite photographic era?
I would say from, like, senior year of high school through college.
Oh, really?
I just need a filter that makes me look less orange.
Okay.
There was so much tanning
fake
happening.
Baking.
Oh my God, all the pictures of us that it was just like, what are these orange alien Oompa Loompa people running around doing? Like, we thought that looked good.
That was big in Minnesota, particularly.
God.
Yeah, it was
it
big
was
in Minnesota.
It
yeah.
It was awful.
Yeah.
So I doctor all those photos.
Yeah. So not the teenage dirtbag years, but the post high school years.
No, I think teenage dirtbag was still appropriate. Like, okay. We were still, like, that's just like the era that it was.
Coming of age.
Coming of age. I think the orange was really bad. Like, I'm embarrassed when I look at those photos.
I don't think I've actually seen any of those photos either.
Oh, I'll show you. A college roommate of mine just posted a photo that we had professionally taken inside the JCPenney's at the Miller Hill Mall at our college. And we all drove 30 minutes a day to tan. And it's very, very evident. I'll post it for the listeners.
When I moved here in 2005, it was definitely a ridiculous thing that a lot of people did. 100%. Wow. I had not thought about that in a long time. All right. Happy birthday today to U2's Adam Clayton, Annabeth Gish, and to the man who helped give Minnesotans a bad rap for their accents when he played Jerry Lundegaard in Fargo. That was my attempt at a Minnesota accent, which I don't really have to do one because I probably have one already. The still underappreciated William H. Macy. And remember, if you can only read or listen to one retail blog in the business, make it OmniTalk, the only retail media outlet run by two former executives from a current top 10 U.S. retailer. Our Fast Five podcast is the quickest, fastest rundown of all the week's top news. And our daily newsletter, the Retail Daily Minute, tells you all you need to know each day to stay on top of your game as a retail executive, and also features special content that is exclusive to us and that Ann and I take pride in doing just for you. Ann, did you know that the most recent episode of the Retail Daily Minute broke into Apple's top 20 podcasts?
Oh, dang.
Yes. I was pretty stoked about that when I found
out
this morning.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Yes, so if you have not listened to that, it is the perfect way to start your day. It is 5 to 6 minutes of all the headlines you need to know, broken down by Ann and her much better radio voice than I have, giving you the knowledge you need. All right, thanks as always for listening in. Please remember to like and leave us a review wherever you happen to listen to your podcast or on YouTube. You can follow us today by simply going to youtube.com/OmniTalkRetail.
Thanks again to Lululemon for hosting us today and hosting the Fast Five. We'll be sure to put all of our info. You can ask us when you see us at conferences because we'll definitely be wearing these outfits, or we'll put it in the show notes.
100%. So thanks to them. And on behalf of all of us at OmniTalk and myself, as always, until next week, be careful out there.
The OmniTalk Fast Five is brought to you in association with the A&M Consumer and Retail Group. The A&M Consumer and Retail Group is a management consulting firm that tackles the most complex challenges and advances its clients, people, and communities toward their maximum potential. CRG brings the experience, tools, and operator-like pragmatism to help retailers and consumer products companies be on the right side of disruption. And Avalara. Avalara makes tax compliance faster, easier, more accurate, and more reliable for 30,000-plus businesses and government customers in over 90 countries. Avalara leverages 1,200-plus signed partner integrations to power tax calculations, document management, tax return filing, and tax content access. Visit Avalara.com to improve your compliance journey. And Wiliot. Wiliot's ambient IoT visibility platform, powered by battery-free Bluetooth tags, eliminates scanning for real-time, end-to-end inventory visibility. For more information, head to Wiliot.com/OmniTalk. And TGW. Revolutionize your grocery supply chain with TGW. Their experts tailor automation solutions to your needs, ensuring you have the edge. Work with TGW before your competition does. Discover more at tgw-group.com. And finally, Sezzle. Sezzle is an innovative buy now, pay later solution that allows shoppers to split purchases into 4 interest-free payments over 6 weeks. To learn more, visit sezzle.com.